not operator error. So, not my fault. This evening, I want to talk a little bit about opening our eyes. You know, the miracles of Jesus were intended to produce faith in those who witness the power that Jesus had. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Not only do these accounts of the miracles that were performed by Jesus, these accounts have the power to produce faith, and they contain many things that we as Christians today would do well to think about and apply to our lives if possible. I'd like for us to consider one incident tonight, just one miracle. A little bit of the background, Brother Wayne read it a few moments ago. While Jesus was leaving Jericho, a multitude of people were following him, and there were two blind men who heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, two things kind of stand out here. First of all, they were blind. Secondly, they were sitting by the roadside. They had never seen a miracle, but they had heard of the miracles that Jesus performed. And they believed with all of their heart that there was a man that could restore their sight, and they were going to sit there and get his attention to have their sight restored. Again, there were two blind men who heard Jesus was passing by, and they cried out for mercy, but the multitude that was following said, "Hey, y'all hush up. Don't bother the man." You know, Jesus is busy. He's very important. And you poor blind men, you ought to just be quiet and don't bother him. Basically, that's exactly what they were saying. But Jesus asked them what they desired. And they asked that their sight be restored. These blind men literally turned to Jesus for help. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.'" I am firmly convinced that they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew because it says there, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Everybody knows that Jesus didn't have an earthly father, but his adoptive father was Joseph. The idea here is, I believe these two men, even though they were blind and had never seen a miracle, they knew who Jesus was. And then you look at John chapter 6 and verse 68. "Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" Now, the reason for this was because Jesus was teaching the multitude, and he got to talking about eating the flesh and drinking his blood. And that turned a lot of the believers off. And a lot of the believers turned and walked away and would not follow Jesus anymore. So Jesus asked Peter asked Jesus, "Are you going to leave too?" And then Peter said, "Where would we go? You have the words of life." And then again in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30, Jesus here says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean of me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, the thing about it is, this verse here, Jesus carried the burden. Jesus died for the sins of mankind. Our burden following Jesus is very light. Sure, we may be persecuted, and at some point we may even have to die. But the idea is, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." These two blind men, they understood this. They understood that it was the Messiah, the Son of David, the man that they understood that had performed many great miracles, that they could receive their sight if they were persistent and willing to ask. These blind men sought the Lord in spite of great opposition. Matthew chapter 20, verse 31, "And the multitude rebuked them." You know, that word there, rebuke, literally has the idea that they were rebuffed. They were simply told to hush up. Be quiet. Don't bother the man. "And the multitude rebuked them because they should not hold their peace, but they cried the more." Even though they were chided, even though they were told to hush, they were told to be quiet, they cried out even more, louder, saying, "Have mercy on us, O thou Son of David." Let me ask you this question. Can others silence you? These poor blind men sitting alongside the road, both of them, they couldn't go anywhere unless someone led them. They could not be quieted. Think about our life. Think about how easy it is for us, because we have our physical sight. We can get around. Those two men could not. But yet they wanted just a moment of Jesus' time. Could others silence us? Think about that. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. "But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak hence to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You know, the council had John and Peter before them and told them, "Hey, y'all got to stop. Don't even mention his name. Don't even bring it up." They were worried because people were believing in the name of Jesus. The council wanted it squashed, wanted it stopped. Just like the two blind men, the multitude commanded them, basically rebuked them, said, "Keep your mouth shut. Don't bother the man." Here the council says, "Y'all keep your mouth shut. We don't want you to even mention his name to anyone." Peter and John decided that they needed to speak. They needed to speak because of what they had seen and what they had heard. Notice Acts chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" They didn't listen to the council. When they got out, they went straight out and started teaching and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They were guilty of the blood of Christ, but they didn't want to be reminded of it. Yeah, we're guilty, but don't tell nobody. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. How many of us would do what Peter and John did? What if they come in to this building and took us all down to the county jail? I said, you have to stop. You're no longer allowed to meet and worship God. You're no longer allowed to even say Jesus' name. We're going to let you go, but don't let us catch you doing it again. How many would come back here? Think about that. Think about that. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Would we come back and worship? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Alright, where'd Paul get this? Psalms 116 and verse 10. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Brothers and sisters, we cannot stop speaking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No matter what man may try to do to us, we cannot stop proclaiming the gospel. That's our mission. Just as the two blind men that were sitting alongside the road, crying out to Jesus, have mercy. And the multitude telling them to stop. But yet they refused and even cried out even louder. Let's go back to them hauling us off down to the county jail. When we got out and started walking back home, we start proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified even louder? Or would we scurry home and hide? These blind men requested that Jesus open their eyes. And chapter 20 of Matthew and verse 33, they say unto Him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and opened their eyes. Do you think Jesus would have done that if they would have stopped when the multitude told them to be quiet? Probably not. Although we may have our physical sight, we might need our eyes, our spiritual eyes, opened. Open our eyes to opportunities. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Maybe we need to have our eyes open to the possibilities and the opportunities that present itself as we go about our daily lives. Maybe we need to have our eyes open to our blessings. Look at what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many times do we forget that? How many times do we sit and say, woe is me, look at all the bad things, when we probably should be thanking the Lord for all the blessings that He's given us? Maybe our eyes need to be open to the blessings of God. Psalms 107 verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, this is a psalm that we can associate with even today. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Many times, you know, because of all the cares of the world and all the doom and the gloom, we tend to forget about the goodness of God and the wonderful works, the wonderful blessings that He has given us. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Maybe our eyes need to be open to the future. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Maybe our eyes need to be open to the future of not living faithful to God. The two blind men raised a ruckus on the side of the road to get the attention of the one man that they knew that could help them. Maybe we need to pray and ask God to open our eyes to the opportunities. Maybe we need to ask God to open our eyes to all of the blessings that He's given us. Maybe we need to have our eyes open to the future, whether we spend it in heaven or hell. Maybe we, like those blind men in the days of Jesus, we need to be crying out to the Lord, asking Him to open our eyes. If your eyes are open and you don't like what you're seeing, then take advantage of this opportunity to make things right in God's sight. The one little story of the miracle of the healing of the two blind men is a great message, because it shows that being persistent, they gained what they were searching for. And what is each and every one of us searching for? Heaven. May our eyes be open to the possibilities. If you're in need of prayer,